Well, dear friends, welcome back, everyone, to our Westless program on this Sabbath afternoon. This is a live stream YouTube service, and we will continue this afternoon on another topic, why Jesus did miracles of healing on the Sabbath. So again, if someone that is watching us on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe. You'll see many messages there that will strengthen you, inspire you in your walk with the Lord, and give you a deeper insight into the Word of God. So as of now, I'd like to open with a word of prayer as we dive into the Word again. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we want to praise you and thank you again and again for the sweet hours of the Sabbath, for the sunshine, for the breeze, for warm weather, Lord, for the blue sky and green trees. There's so much blessing out there that you place as an evidence of your existence and of your power that is still supporting and holding up this world. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you for your Word and the power in your Word. Speak to us, Lord. We open our hearts and minds to hear you, and may your Word change us and transform us into your likeness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, today's topic, why Jesus did miracles of healing on Sabbath. Every miracle in the Bible performed by Christ and the disciples is the illustration of the spiritual truth. And some of the most striking miracles of Jesus were done on the Sabbath. Have you ever wondered why on Sabbath? Well, the answer is, I just mentioned, to illustrate spiritual truth by doing it. Let's take a look at a couple of those miracles that Jesus performed on Sabbath. And first one, we're going to revisit the story that we were covering today, the story in the Gospel of John, chapter 9. Is Michael still with us today this afternoon?
Yes, he is.
Michael, may we ask your favor to read to us this passage of the Scripture with your evangelistic voice. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Let's hear this story.
As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes, and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went away and washed and came back seeing.
Amen. And verse 14, please.
Now it was the Sabbath on the day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes.
It was the Sabbath that Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. So what visible fact did Jesus prove by this miracle on Sabbath? Simply this, that he is the light of this world. In John 8, verse 12, Jesus himself said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." What did the blind man had to do first in order to receive sight? What did he have to do what took place first before he received the sight?
He had to
Any
obey.
idea? He obeyed. Good. Then what is preceding the obedience to the obedience? Any idea? What was the first thing that took place? What he did first?
He believed.
Say it again?
He believed.
Yes, amen. He believed the word of Christ. And what was the result? He began to see the light of sun. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
So, who gives light to the sun? Well, in Jeremiah 31:35, we will see who gives light to the sun. Jeremiah 31, verse 35, we read this. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for the light by day, and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night. So who gives light to the sun and to the stars? The Lord. Jesus gives the light to the sun, to moon, and the stars. So, the sun, the moon, and the stars are receiving the light from the Son of Righteousness, Jesus. The sun, light, causes life on the earth. It sustains the life here and brings fruitfulness. And that's why, Allison, you're picking up apricots today, 10 days earlier than I'm here down south.
Amazing.
So, and as Christ restored the blind, as he did this, it is the evidence that this light and life comes from Christ. By this we can know that he can also impart his life of righteousness to us. Romans 1, verse 21, we read. Romans 1, 21. Open your Bibles. It says, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And the heart and the mind, it's, in biblical understanding, it's a similar, it's identical thing. So, sin is darkness. It brings darkness. Our hearts become darkened when we don't glorify God as God. Sinners then have the understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God. That's what Paul says in Ephesians 4:18. And just as Christ gave sight to the blind, so he takes away the darkness of sin and gives the light of life to all who accept him in truth. That's what's happening here. And the second story is found in the Gospel of Luke chapter 13. Take a look at this story. Also taking place on the Sabbath. Luke chapter 13. Mike, would you read for us verses 10 through 17, please?
And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and there was a woman who for 18 years had had a sickness caused by a spirit. And she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, woman, you are freed from your sickness. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made erect again and began glorifying God. But the synagogue official, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, began saying to the crowd in response, there are 6 days in which work should be done. So come during them and get healed, and not on the Sabbath day. But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to water him? And this woman, a daughter of Abraham as she is, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, should she not have been released from this bond on the Sabbath day?" As he said this, all of his opponents were humiliated, and the entire crowd was rejoicing over all the glorious things being done by him.
In verse 11, thank you, Michael, we see that this woman had a sickness caused by the spirit. There was a spirit of infirmity. And verse 16 says she was bound by Satan. So what did Christ illustrate here by releasing her from the bondage? From that very bondage. It was the illustration of his power to free from sin. And it is all. For whoever commits sin is the servant of sin, John says in John 8:34. The words of Jesus. And Paul says, John said in 1 John 3:8, and is of the devil, and of whom the man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. So if a person surrendered to Satan, he is a slave of Satan, and it will result in death. If we surrender to Christ, we will have victory over schemes of Satan. We will become overcomers and inherit eternal life. So, the victory, as our dear friend Pastor D was often mentioning in the seminar Victory in Jesus, the victory in Christian life is surrendering to Christ. Let him take over, and he will defeat the enemy. He will defeat everything that enemy caused in your life. You will be victorious. You will be overcomer because it is Christ in you who will be overcoming. On our own, we can do nothing, but all things are possible with God. Christ in us is the hope of glory, by whom the man is overcome, or to whom we surrendered. We are brought to bondage to him, but it is better to take the yoke of Christ and to be slave of Christ, slave of righteousness, than to be slave of Satan. Isn't it true? This woman could not lift herself up, the Bible says, right? She was banded double. Imagine, this person could not lift up her head to see straight or to look up. That was the condition of this woman, banded double. And that's the way she was walking for 18 years. Can you picture this? A woman bound by Satan for 18 years, she was walking that way, not being able to look at the sky, to look up at the sky, to look ahead of her. And as Psalmist said, she could not lift herself up. Psalm 40, verse 12, says something similar here. Psalm number 40, verse 12. Mike, would you like to take this piece of pie? A delicious piece of pie.
For evils beyond number have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me, so that I am not able to see. They are more numerous than the hairs of my head, and my heart has failed me.
So I know you're reading the New American Standard Bible. Anybody has King James Version to read this verse? Anybody? Let's see how the other versions sound. I like New American, NASB, New American Standard Bible. Something different about other version. Who has the King James Version or New King James Version? Any other version that you have? Would you like to read that version?
I have whatever version you want. You want King James?
Let's do King James, yeah.
For innumerable evils have compassed me and me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart faileth me.
I'm not able to look up. This was the condition of the woman. And the reason why that condition came up, the psalmist said, my iniquities have overtaken me, so I'm not able to look up. Well, but as we see the power of God on this woman, we also can say with the psalmist in chapter 3 when he spoke, Psalm chapter 3, verse 3, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. Wow. That's what Jesus is about to do with this woman because she could not lift up her head. So this woman had a spirit of infirmity. Christ had compassion on her and healed her. He didn't wait for Monday, you know. And we know what the Hebrews 4:15 says. Hebrews 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. So, and the sympathy is not, his sympathy is not just a theory. It is practical reality. The sympathy of Jesus is a practical reality. In these miracles, God gave us an encouraging and blessed illustration of Christ's power to open the eyes of the blind and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. That's what Jesus did through these miracles on the Sabbath. Now, here are a couple of things that we need to notice. Number one, the Bible specifically notes that these miracles were done on the Sabbath. We've seen it. And number two, the need for healing was not so urgent that they had to be healed immediately. Correct? The blind man was born blind. He could wait for one more day. And the woman with infirmity was bound for 18 years, was not in danger, could wait for one more day, correct? Yes. Neither of them was expecting to be healed, were they? They would not have been disappointed if Jesus had not healed them until the Sabbath was passed. But Jesus did not delay the hour of healing. He healed them on the Sabbath day. When it comes to help and to heal humanity, Jesus Christ didn't wait till the Sabbath was over. He is anxious to help humanity. That's who God is. And by doing it, he knew very well that it will offend the Pharisees and reignite their hatred for him. And he did it anyway. What does it say to us? Jesus had a special object in mind, and the Holy Spirit has purpose to call our attention to the day on which Jesus performed this miracle, these works. What was the object? Let's take a look at the Gospel of John chapter 20. I believe this is the object. John chapter 20 and verse 30 and 31. Somebody would like to read to us? If nobody, I will read it. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. Verse 21, but these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. This was written, done and written, that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. By the way, the God here is, the word God, is the mighty covenant maker. That's the meaning of the word God in Hebrew. And that believing you may have life in his name. By believing you may have life in his name. So if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you have life in his name. Because there's no life in any other name. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He is that eternal life, the Bible says. If you have Jesus, you have it all. You already died the second death. You have been resurrected, and you already have eternal life. So having Jesus, you have it all, including eternal life in his name. So let me ask you a question. Did Jesus break the Sabbath by doing this? No. No, Jesus himself said in Matthew 12:12 the following. Matthew 12:12. Jesus says, how much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? So then it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Some think that the Sabbath may be broken in case of a necessity. I meet many Sabbath-keeping Christians that they try to prove that. But Jesus did not do it. Even though the Jews were falsely accusing him of doing so, it is never necessary to break the Sabbath. Jesus did not do these miracles out of disrespect to the Sabbath day. Jesus, the Bible says, kept all the commandments. All means including the Sabbath day. And if you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. I don't know how, why it's so hard to understand for many Christians what he says. Jesus kept all the commandments. Jesus was showing the true meaning of the Sabbath. It is good to do good on the Sabbath. It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath, Matthew 12:12. It is true that he worked on Sabbath, but how did he do it? That's the question. His ways are higher than our ways. Let's consider how did he do this. It was by his word that he worked. By his word. All this time, since the creation of the world, when the heavens and the earth were finished, and God did rest on the seventh day from all his works, he still continues to work by the word of his power, which upholds all things, even keeping our hearts beating. He is still working by the word of his power. Imagine if God will let it go on Sabbath. We would be dead. Right now, we would just drop dead. If God would not do this good thing. Matthew 12:12, again he says, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. So, why then God gave us the Sabbath? Why? Ezekiel chapter 20. Answers the question. Ezekiel chapter 20, and you all know the verse probably. Ezekiel 20 and verse 12. Who would like to have the privilege to read this verse? Ezekiel 20, verse 12. It says, I'll take the privilege. As I gave them my Sabbath, says the Lord, to be a sign between me and them. You see, Sabbath is a sign between God and his people, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. So the Sabbath is a sign between God and men, and showing this God who sanctifies men, preparing them, restoring them from the fall that the devil throw them into that pit. So in performing those miracles on the Sabbath, Jesus was showing the true purpose of the Sabbath. What is the purpose? It is to free man and woman from bondage. That's the purpose of the Sabbath. So to spend the entire day with God, considering his works, his goodness, his power, to restore us.
It's Amen.
Memory. Thank you. Thank you for the single amen. Keep it coming. It commemorates his creative power, and it is by this power that we are made new creatures in Christ when we believe. For we
Amen.
Who believe do enter into rest, even God's rest. And what is God's rest? Where do you find the rest? God's rest. We find God's rest in the accomplished work of creation. That's where we find it. He made it all. It was perfect. Everything was done was very, not just good, very good. God was satisfied the way it was done. And we also find the rest in the accomplished work of redemption. Redemption was accomplished on the cross. Jesus himself said, it is finished. What was finished? Some people say the salvation was finished. I would disagree. On the cross, what was finished? Redemption was finished. It's a misunderstanding of the sanctuary message, the service in the sanctuary, the teaching of the sanctuary. That's why people thinking that it was accomplished the entire salvation. So that, you see, the redemption is an accomplished fact. Price is paid, we are redeemed. The next step is the holy place, which is restoration, which is sanctification. And that is also the salvation. Salvation from sin. The first thing that God had redeemed us on the cross was salvation. He saved us from the guilt and punishment of sin. Now, in the holy place, he's saving us from the power of sin that you call sanctification. So, as my friend was teaching us at his seminars, Pastor Bill, so salvation is an accomplished fact, is both the accomplished fact and the ongoing process. And the good news is that while you're growing in Christ, as you grow in Christ, as you walk with Christ, and you stumble, you make a mistake, guess what? God doesn't put you back under condemnation. He wants to lift you up and to teach you how not to stumble. What a God we have. But we must come to him for that cleansing. Not trying to cleanse ourselves. Come to God as a good child. Come to him in repentance. He will teach you how not to do it. He is willing to do it. So, we find rest in accomplished work of creation. We find rest in accomplished work of redemption. And, ultimately, we find rest in salvation. Because God is faithful. He has begun a good work in us. He is faithful to complete it. Who is completing that work? Grant, right? I will never be able to do it. God is faithful to accomplish what he has begun in me and in you. So the main ingredient for the rest is believe. Believe. God rested when he had finished his work. He rested on his work of power. We find rest through the work of God, not our own work. That's where we find rest. In John 6:29, Jesus said, This is the work of God. When the Jews asked him, what shall we do God's work, the work of God? Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. This is the work of God. Believe in him whom he sent. And believing gives us breath. The work of God. And by the way, again, don't get me wrong. Some people taking me at this word and saying, oh, then we don't need to do anything. You know what? Our work is to believe the word of God and act upon it. That's the fullness of the faith. Because even devils believe and tremble. But true follower of Christ believes his word and act upon it. And this is the key that opens up the door for Christ to indwell into the Holy Spirit and overcome sin in our lives. Because on our own, we cannot do it. If we could, he didn't have to come. That's how simple it is. Why it's so difficult to understand, I don't know. Well, I'm sorry, I've been there. I know why it's difficult to understand. We need to continue to feed ourselves on the Word of God. We need, one day God will break it through if you have a sincere heart. Believing gives rest. The work of God gives us rest from sin. Because Psalm 92 verse 4 says to us, Psalm 92 verse 4. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the works of your hands. Some version says that I will triumph in the work of your hands. So we rejoice, we triumph in the work of his hands. And that also can be implied as a rest. We can rest in the work of his hand. So by these miracles, Christ is teaching us that the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, is the crowning glory of the gospel. Oh, I hope you heard that. By these miracles that Christ had done on the Sabbath, he is teaching us that the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, is the crowning glory of the gospel. When it kept as God intended, it enables us to see Christ as both the Creator and the Redeemer. And his redeeming power is his creative power. And where is the power? Or what is the power? What is the power? So, that power, my dear friends, is his word. And that is why Satan, through papal Rome, took away the word of God from people, the word that is the light unto our path through this earth to heaven. He took it away from people. And that is how the world was plunged into darkness. And the history repeats itself. As Christians don't appreciate what they have, the Word of God, they eventually will lose it. The Bibles were taken away from schools in this country, a country that was actually established on the principles of the Bible. And that's what Satan is doing to this country. And people are cooling off towards the Word of God, and eventually they are going to lose the Word of God. And we've been told that none who does not fortify their mind with the Word of God will be able to stand at the end of time. Please hear it.
Amen.
We should ask for the grace of God to give us such a hunger and thirst for His Word that we will be fortifying our mind with the Word of God. The Bible fortifies the mind. In Christ Object Lessons, page 38, we've been told that in every command and in every promise of the Word of God, there is a power, the very life of God, by which the command may be fulfilled and the promise realized. And he who by faith receives the Word of God, believes and acts upon it, is receiving the very life and the character of God. Powerful statement from the red book of a Christian author. are. So the Sabbath of the Lord is a memorial of creation. It reminds us of the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. It reveals to us, like nothing else can, that Christ was anointed by the Holy Spirit. To do what? Let's read again. The Gospel of Luke chapter 4, as Jesus is repeating the words himself as he spoke to one of his prophets in the Old Testament. He who gave those words to the prophet Isaiah, now on this earth, is speaking by himself. Listen to this. Jesus is speaking to the Jews, to his people. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. So, that's why Jesus came. This is his mission. That's what he was anointed for. And everyone who believes his words and his mission can count on all these things. It is in their bank account. Do you believe it? If you do, you better start drawing on Bank of Heaven.
Amen.
Go through this life in peace and joy, knowing that your riches are in Christ. Your identity is in Christ, and your destiny is in Christ. It is secure. Your righteousness is in Christ. You see, if the righteousness by which we are saved would have been in us, we would never make it. The devil can destroy it. But our righteousness is in Christ, where the devil cannot even touch it. So, the righteousness that saves us is not in us, it is in Christ. And that's why the faith that can make that righteousness applicable and reality in our lives, the devil can destroy. That faith is in us. That's why the most valuable thing we have on this earth, in this life, is the faith. Believe. Believe in Christ. Believe in his word. And you get proof that you believe, you will act upon it. May God give us grace to everyone. That grace to believe and act upon his word. Let us pray. Loving Father. Loving Father. Thank you so much for the grace that is available to us. Grace that gives us the faith of Jesus. That's what we need. Thank you that is available to us. Thank you that you're so willing to indwell in us through the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you're so willing to complete the work which you have begun in us. Thank you for the gift of justification, adoption, the process of sanctification you're taking us through, Lord. For the gift of redemption and salvation. Lord, for all things we give glory and praise to you. We totally depend on you, Lord, and we pray that you will give us that grace to hold on to your word, the light unto a path that will lead us from this place of darkness, Lord, to our eternal home. To be at the right hand of Jesus. Lord, I pray for everyone who is hearing this message that at this very moment you will pour your light of light upon each one of us. That you will pour your spirit in a double measure upon each one of us. In this time of crisis, Lord, that you will awaken every believer in Christ that we may come in unity and reveal that light to the world that is groping in darkness. Bless every sincere heart, Father. Bless every person that is representing their families, Lord, their children. You know all the needs of every individual that tuned in. They are not by accident here. And I pray the richest blessings of heaven to fall upon them and their families. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends, I just want